May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel lesson, especially these verses. After saying these things, Jesus said to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, our world has sort of its own way of dealing with death, its own way of talking about it, its own way of saying that someone has died, with trying to take away the sting of death through various platitudes, euphemisms. Perhaps you've heard some of these: passed away, slipped away, lost her battle, didn't make it, breathed his last, is in a better place, the somewhat crass kicked the bucket, succumbed, checked out, entered the pearly gates. I could go on and on. Different cultures, different regions, different families may all have their own ways of talking about this most uncomfortable of topics, namely death. Their own ways of trying to soften the blow that the death of someone brings. And it turns out that the Bible also has language about death, a way of talking about death, a way that sounds very different from the platitudes and euphemisms that I just mentioned. And here from Jesus, we hear one of those ways, really the most common way in the New Testament to speak of death. Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." Fallen asleep. It turns out there's a Latin phrase to describe the way that Scripture talks about death, mortis dulcia nomina, which simply means the sweet names of death. These include being gathered to one's own people, departing in peace, departing and being with Christ, a turning away from the evil to come, rest, passing from death to life, deliverance from all evil, and of course, falling asleep. Now, unlike the way the world speaks about death, the way the world tries to deal with the sting of death, these biblical ways of talking about death are actually meant to be true comfort to those who believe, and there is a divine truth in each of these ways of speaking. Scripture doesn't give us these words to gloss over the ugliness of death or to instill some sort of false comfort in us about what has just happened to the person who has died or the loss that we feel from that. It's not to add to our repertoire of death platitudes. These words aren't meant to give false comfort, but to reveal something to us about what death is now for us, for God's children. Luther has this to say about how we as Christians should speak about death. He says, "Scripture has a lovely way of speaking of the death and the deceased. Scripture does not call it death, but asleep. We must henceforth learn a new speech and language in speaking of death and the grave. This is not a human earthly language, but a divine celestial language. For the like you find in none of the books of all the learned and wise on earth. But among Christians, this should be a familiar, common, and our current speech." End quote. Let's look a little more closely at our gospel lesson from John chapter 11. First, a little bit of background. Last week, as you may recall, we read the account of Jesus healing the man who had been born blind in John chapter 9. And this healing puts Jesus in hot water with some of the Jewish authorities. They don't like that he's healing this sinner on a Sabbath. And then in John chapter 10, Jesus goes on to describe himself as the good shepherd. And at the end of that section, he makes this statement, "I and the Father are one." And this enrages the Jewish authorities who had heard him speaking, and they seek to stone him and arrest him. And of course, Jesus escapes in a way that only Jesus can and crosses over the Jordan to the area of Perea to find a much warmer reception. And that's where we pick up in John chapter 11. Jesus and his disciples on the east side of the Jordan with great success among the people. And as you can tell, the disciples are not very eager to go back to the other side of the Jordan, to Bethany where Lazarus and his sisters live, because they're afraid. Afraid for Jesus, perhaps, and certainly in fear of their own lives, for their own lives. As we look at our gospel reading for this morning, it's clear that Jesus' disciples don't understand his manner of speaking about Lazarus' physical death. Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now, why would Jesus use such confusing language that even his own disciples wouldn't understand what he was talking about? Clearly, the disciples assume that Jesus is talking of Lazarus taking a nap. Why is Jesus all of a sudden playing it coy with death? Well, he isn't. Instead, he's revealing something to his disciples and to us about what death is for us, his children. Jesus says, "I go to awaken him." No doubt you've been awakened or had to wake someone else up. Maybe you yelled at them. Maybe you called their name. Some people sleep so deeply that you have to shake them to wake them up. But often we can wake somebody up by just saying their name sort of assertively. Someone who's asleep can be awoken, often with just a word. And so it is with God and death. It's no hard for God to resurrect someone, to raise someone from the dead, than it is for us to wake someone who has fallen asleep. In fact, it's even easier. Jesus wakes the dead, raises the dead several times in the New Testament. The son of the widow at Nain, Jairus' daughter, and here, Lazarus. And before raising Jairus' daughter, Jesus also says of her that she is not dead, but sleeping. He speaks to the girl, commands her to get up, and she does. Now, unlike Jairus' daughter, when Jesus arrives at the tomb of Lazarus, he has already been dead for 4 days. And this is significant because the rabbis during that time, some claim, that the rabbis taught that the soul hovered over the body for 3 days and then departed when the body began to decompose. The point here is that Lazarus was, by all worldly understanding, by all human reason, dead. But to Jesus, only sleeping. And Jesus goes to wake him, and he wakens him with a word. I wonder what that must have been like for Lazarus. I think we've all woken up from a deep sleep, like one of those 2-hour naps that we want, but it somehow gets cut short. Initially, it can be very confusing and disorienting when you first wake up. You may not know where you are. You may not know what day it is, what time it is. It's all a jumble. And for Lazarus, this divine waking up must have been perplexing, to say the least. He was, no doubt, enjoying the bliss of his soul being with the Father in heaven, and then suddenly, boom, finds himself alive, but in a tomb, wrapped up with all these cloths. And of course, at some point later in life, he would die again. He will rise again with us on the last day. And so it is for us. Because of Jesus' death, in which he took upon himself the sin of the whole world, because of his violent death, because he suffered all the wrath of God on account of our sin, death for us is a departing in peace. It's a going to sleep in the Lord. Death is still our enemy, to be sure. It is the last enemy to be defeated, but for the believer in Christ Jesus, death is no more an end than is sleep. The world believes that physical death is the worst thing that can happen to a person. That is why there is so much panic and chaos surrounding a pandemic like this. Should we be mindful of the danger? Should we be cautious to ensure the safety of our friends and neighbors? By all means. As Luther says, we should fear and love God, that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. And we are to submit ourselves to the earthly authorities that God has placed over us. And at the same time, we know that physical death is not the thing of which we should be most afraid. No, that is eternal death. That is where our fear is. The death that results from unbelief, from doubting God's forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what all people should be most afraid of. We as God's people should fear for our brothers and sisters falling away from the faith, not from physical death, not from dying with faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, Jesus has already raised us from the dead. He's woken us up in our baptisms. He did that with his word. In baptism, God called you by name. And he will raise us physically on the last day, just like he did Lazarus. He will use his word to do that too. He will call our names again, just as he did in baptism, and up you will rise, never to die again. Jesus will wake us up. The cemeteries of the faithful will be like that valley of dry bones in the Old Testament lesson. God will speak his word. Life will come back into our dead and decomposed bodies. The breath of life will return into what will now be glorious bodies. That breath of life will never depart, and we will open our eyes from sleep, and in our flesh, we will see God. Jesus has come to awaken us. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.